Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are in Parashat Korach.
My son, the other son.
Bar Mitzvah Shabbos.
Two of them.
Okay. You know, they have this story about this guy who used to give droshes. So every time he came to a place, and he had one drosha on Korach. So he has to say, what do you want to speak about today? Maybe we say, oh, you want this? Ah, oh, you want to speak on this? Oh, there is a machloket. Okay, let's talk about machloket Korach.
Yeah. Always.
So this way, all used to talk in the same thing. So the thing is that it's a very important parsha, because this is really what we shouldn't do. And in our parsha, we are being, let's say, suddenly we find out the real face of a few figures. And we see both sides. From my side, the behavior of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. And from the other side, Datan v'Aviram, those two guys that go through with Moshe Rabbeinu. And every time when there is something wrong, those two guys are there. Datan and Aviram. And of course, we must not forget Korach himself. The general idea behind it is to understand what was going on here. Because Korach was not a stupid guy. Korach was one of the people who carried the ark. Yeah. And they said he had the Ruach HaKodesh. So he was a prophet. He had unbelievable spiritual powers. And he was in one of the greatest jobs that there is from the point of view of holiness. And they say, when you want to talk about a machloket shelo leshem shamayim, when there is a machloket that is not for God, what is the example? Korach. And you know, 1 minute, what is Korach really arguing about? What does he want? He's talking about holiness. So how can you call his machloket not holy? He wants to be closer to God. But the real truth is, he wants to be closer to himself. Because that's exactly the most terrible thing you can do. This is hypocrisy in the worst way. Why? You put your own thing and you cover up it with holiness. Yeah, wow, I'm so holy. But the real truth is that you're going so low. You're going against Moshe Rabbeinu. And you're telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Madua titnasu al kal Hashem. Why do you keep yourself up above us? Who are you to keep yourself? Moshe Rabbeinu. Where do we see Moshe Rabbeinu keeps himself up of anybody? Moshe Rabbeinu, the God himself says, Anav yoter mikol adam al pnei adama, is the most humble man on earth. There is nobody humble than him. And you tell him that he is above everybody, and he like is putting himself above people. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, the same thing. And he says, the whole congregation are holy. Why do you think yourself holier than others? God reveals himself to everybody. We all have been in Mount and our Sinai, and we all received the Torah, and we all saw God, and we all heard God. Everybody is holy. And this is a very interesting issue. When we're talking about everybody being holy, is it really? Are we all holy?
No.
Yes and
the
no.
Truth is yes and no.
Yes.
Yes and no. Why yes and no? If each one of us is going to do his own job, we are all holy. But if we want our friend's job, then that's not holiness, even if it looks like holiness. Because the worst thing is to want what somebody else got. That's the worst thing that there is. And that's the basic of everything. And it comes from Gaava. We're talking here, you see, there was a whole interesting way, we haven't got a lot of time, but we have to go through the procedure very quickly. So Korach comes and tells everybody is holy. I want this job. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, tomorrow morning, you all stand here. He comes with 250 people. You all stand here with the Ktoret, and we'll see who is the one who is holy. And of course, 250 people, they all die. Then the people see who is right, Moshe Rabbeinu. But they come and Moshe Rabbeinu says, you killed the people. How can you come and after all happening, you tell Moshe Rabbeinu, you killed the people? And then they say, they do another test with the sticks. And then the stick of Aaron HaKohen grows. And then they come again. What? Are we doomed to die? What's going on here? The real truth is, if we think about it, who are we dealing with? Who are those 250 people that are standing in the beginning of the parsha with Korach? Who are they? They are the best people in the period. They are the best people. They are not simple people. They are all here. Chashi chamishim u'matayim nesiei yeda, kriei moed, anshei shem, people of a name, people that stand above, like they are the leaders of the people. Those 250 people are standing there. So from one side, we don't understand what are those 250 people doing there. Because we all know, how many people can be Kohen Gadol?
One.
In other words, what's going to happen with the Ktoret? You remember what happened with the Ktoret? When the two sons of Aaron took the Ktoret in the wrong place, they died. In other words, they're all standing there like Shahidim. You know what the Shahid is? Yes, you have the Shahidim with a bomb belt and waiting to be killed. Like to the moment they're going to light the fire for the Ktoret, what's going to happen? Boom! They'll all be killed because only one can be the Kohen Gadol. Only one. So why are they standing there? Are they stupid? They cannot be stupid because the Torah is telling us that they are the presidents. They are the leaders.
Were they told to stand there?
No. From their own free will? Korach convinced them. And then Korach, this holy guy, talking about, let's go and stand. 1 minute, Korach. You know that only one can stand there. So what are you doing? And if you think that you are the one, in other words, you are now telling those 200 people, 250 people to kill themselves. You understand who Korach is? This is an evil guy. And how did he become like this? Because you're talking about a guy that he's got everything. You say, rich as Korach. So money is God. He's got a spear, the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. He is the one who carries the ark. So what can you have more?
It's crazy.
He's got everything.
He has the ego.
Yes. Haman HaRasha. You remember what happened with Haman?
Yeah.
He's got everything.
Yeah.
But there is one guy that doesn't bow to him. Oh, he cannot stand it. Adam HaRishon. I'm giving samples, but you have to understand, we have to realize that samples are not exactly the same, but the idea is the same. Adam HaRishon is being told, you're allowed to eat everything.
Except
one tree. What's happening? From that tree they eat. You have all the trees around you. They say that are you standing in front of them in platzes? I cannot eat this. But 1 minute. Does this not happen to each one of us? When they tell us that this is not allowed, what's happening to us?
Temptation.
It's temptation. We want it because it's not allowed. But we have everything. No, we want this. Why? Because this is not allowed. This is the nature
of human.
And this is the big lesson from Parashat Korach. To understand and realize that it can happen to each one of us. And it doesn't matter who you are. You can be the top guy. You can be in on the top of the society and still it can happen to you. Like it happened to Korach and it happened to the 250 holy people. Unbelievable. They say, Agava, Atava, Ve'akavod, Motziim et Adam min ha'olam. Pride, honor, and lust take the human being out of this world. What does it mean? I heard once that it's a very simple explanation. Those 250 people in Korach, they were not here anymore because their lust and their pride, their honor, and their let's say the gava, the pride, that it took them out of this world. In other words, there was not a man there; it was like an animal. Because with the minute you take what makes the difference between you and beast, what's left there? A beast. An animal that goes after the desire. So when an animal goes after desire, you know, you can convince an animal very simply, put food in front of her and it will go to slaughter. So in really what's happening here is a big lesson to us to be very, very careful when we want something. And start do the calculation. Is this a good thing? Why do I want it? Because if it's only for a simple desire, you have a problem. The problem is that you can lose yourself. And that's what happened to those people. Korach, we understand who he is. Those 250 people. This is now a very interesting point of view. But now let's understand. We understand now why they are doing it. It's very difficult to understand because it's like committing suicide. Let's understand why are the people blaming Moshe Rabbeinu killing the people. You know what they say?
Blame somebody.
No, but they say a very simple thing. Why did you have to do the test with the Ktoret? Mm-hmm. The Ktoret, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, that is going to kill them. So why did you have to do this test? You should have done the test with a different thing. So one was being chosen, but why to kill them? Why to kill those holy people? You see, they are in a very problematic situation. Why? Even after the test with the sticks, that God showing them that Aaron was chosen, they are still have doubts. Doubts about what? They are afraid. Because they see in front of their eyes, let's say we are simple people, what do we see? We see the highest people in our nation are being killed because what do they want? What do they want? They want money? What? Do they want a new car?
They want Kavanah.
They want to get closer to God. That's what they're standing for. They want to do the work of Aaron HaKohen. In other words, they are talking about holy thing. Now, everybody wants to get closer to God. What's happening to him? He's being dead. He's being killed. So, Atamnu Likvua, they're asking. What? Is this our destiny? If we want to get closer to God, what's going to happen to us? We're going to be killed like those 250 people? And Korach?
The motivation was wrong.
That's the point. So what they see is real. They said, you killed them. You killed them. And they're right. Because the terms of, why did you do this test? And if this is the case, what's about us? If we want to get closer to God, what's going to happen to us? If those great people were killed, are we simple people, maybe we won't go to shul. Why do I want to go to shul? Why do I want to go to daven? God kills everybody that tries to get near him. But then the whole thing is, the answer is in the beginning. Rav lachem bnei Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu is explaining them, you got a job from God. God chose you. Now imagine to yourself that, you know, today they do special tests when somebody comes to work. They do special tests in order to know what he's suitable for. Even for university, you have those IQ tests, you have this, and then you see this one is good for philosophy, this one is good for mathematics, this one for physics, this one is for this science, this is for literature. So you find out each one what talent he's got, and you put him in the right position. Now imagine to yourself that after you did all the tests and you put the guy in the right position, he comes to you and he wants a position that doesn't suit him. What would you think about him? Either he's not doing his job, or something here is wrong. And now, putting this on top of it, another thing. This guy is opening this new factory. And he does all the tests in order to put each one of the people in the right place. Everybody gets the same salary. It doesn't matter what you do. You were chosen to a certain job. This is a very interesting planet, they say. Each one's got... every month, this is the salary. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be jealous about nobody because you get the same salary as the guy that sits in the office and the same salary as the guy who works in the workshop. Everybody, the same salary. Everybody is being put in the right place. Now, if somebody comes and wants more job, what does it mean? Or he's not normal, or he doesn't do his job. Because if he wants more job...
And well, he's a socialist.
There is something is wrong here. Now imagine to yourself, we're talking about God. God knows who we are. God gave us the talent. So God knows exactly, each one of us, what is suitable. So God says, Aaron is Kohen Gadol. Korach is one of the carriers of the Aaron HaKodesh, of Luchot HaEdut. Datan and Aviram have their job. Each one of Am Yisrael's got his own job. So as long as each one of us is going to do his own job, you can get the closest you can to God. Because that's the only way to get close to God, to do what God wants. Because otherwise, the same way the Meraglim last week. The Meraglim did this, they sin, talked badly on Eretz Israel. The next day, people are standing, we want to go. We're mistaken, we do tshuva, we want to go. And what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, sorry, you lost your chance. Now, God doesn't want you to go. You cannot do what you want. Wow, we want to go to the Holy Land, what God promised us. That's the mitzvah. That yesterday, those people were being killed. Now we want to do it. Now, they're doing tshuva. So what's wrong with it? Says, you didn't understand what's going on here. It's not about Eretz Israel. It's about doing what God wants you to do. And if God tells you to go, you don't go, you sin. Now the God tells you not to go and you go, you also sin. Why? Because you don't understand. The whole idea is listening to God. And that's the same thing with Korach. Says, Korach, God gave you a job. That's your job. If you look at the other's one job, something is wrong with you. And that's what he's explaining now to all the people, telling them if each one of us is going to do his own job, and yet there is a whole Gemara talking about a Levi that does a work of another Levi. A Levi. Not he's not doing a job of a Kohen. A Levi is doing a job of another Levi. He has to be killed. Death penalty. Why? Because that's your job. That's what you should do. Now, what's the idea behind it? Very simple. We have to understand and realize that the only way to do what God wants is to listen to God. Listening to God means, God gave me a job, that's the job I got, it's the best job for me on earth. That's the way I should look at things. And competition with the others and trying to take others' job, that's the wrong way. And that's why sometimes we look like we looked like. I wrote a few years ago a very interesting story about, I don't know if I told you about it. A few years ago, somebody wanted to do a special inquiry or research about how those billionaires got to where they got. What is their way? So they searched for, 25... No, sorry, 250. Funny. 250. 250 richest people in the world, or from the richest people in the world, and made them a special test or questions to know how did they get to the wealth and what is the right way to do it. They heard all those answers, but the what was common between each one of them, all of them, was that most of the time they were dealing with war or the competition with their competitors. In other words, and today also, you know, a lot of the money that firms put in their budget is how to fight with our competitors. Because I want to be the first. So I have to make sure that the other one is not going to be the first. So a lot of money goes for the competition, to trying to fight with the others. They got to one of the guys, and he told he was owner of a chain, a big chain, international chain, all over the world, and they asked to interview him. And the first question, of course, was, why don't you fight with your competitors? Because they came to him, because he was the one who, when they talked with him, they found he doesn't fight with his competitors, doesn't care, and he is one of the biggest chains in the world. By the way, we're talking about Starbucks. Starbucks. Starbucks coffee. Starbucks coffee is, I think, one of the biggest chains in the world. And by the way, the owner is now giving up. He wants to go to politics or something. And another thing that I didn't know at the time I wrote it, that he is Jewish. Now, that's not the story. That's not the story. That's just knowledge. The story is, they asked him, why don't you compete with your competitors? Why? This is not normal. Because everybody competes. And he told them an unbelievable story. He told them that years ago, he First of all, his father, when he gave him the business, he told him that one of the main things to do is, of course, what to do?
Be fair.
No. You have to compete. You have to know this is one of the biggest fight in the business is to compete with your competitors. You have to fight. So this is the way he used to do this business. One day, they did a special tour for all the managers of the chain and
can you switch off your phone?
Came to Israel.
Switch off your phone.
They came to Israel.
I don't have
it. They came to Israel. Yes?
It's noisy.
They came to Israel and they did a tour all over Israel and they saw this and this and that. I haven't got a lot of time, so I made the story short. Anyway, at the end of the tour, after a few days they've been in Israel, the guy told them, I'm going to take you to a very special place. And where is he going to take them? This is one of the most exciting places in Israel. So they thought maybe an archaeological place, who knows what.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe, but it wasn't. They were standing, we're going to a Jerusalem neighborhood. I mean, standing in front of a big house that was a lot of people going in and out, youngsters. And when they went down off the bus, he told them, what do they think should be the size of an institute that's got 6,000 students? And how many people do you need to control this? Staff, how many staff do you need? And management, how many people do you need? So they did the calculation, and they said, you know what, if we're talking about dining rooms, offices, also where they sleep, and study rooms, and everything they get, you need 150,000 square meters for 6,000, okay? And around 400 staff members. And he says, welcome to Yeshivat Mir. In this yeshiva, there are 6,000 students on 3,000 square meter. That's it. They said 150. And the staff is 20 people. They said how many?
400, 600 you said.
No, they said...
You said 600.
400 people. And they said 20 people. And, you know what the management, how many people?
One.
And he is responsible on taking the students, doing them the test if they're accepted or not. And he decides what's going to be learned. And he also is managing the budget. This one guy. An institute of 6,000 students. They couldn't believe it. And they were going around the yeshiva, and they couldn't believe what they saw. Like, it was all full with students. No, it's unbelievable. If you want to see it, you can see it today also. It's an unbelievable institute, Yeshivat Mir. And everybody was learning, and they didn't even notice them. So he says, how do you think looks the manager of this place? No. You want to meet him? He says, yes. They want to meet somebody like that runs this institute like this by himself, does all the decisions and everything. And you want to look how the offices look? He says, yes, of course. They thought, what office they're going to see? You know how many secretaries he's got? You want to see them? Anyway, they were throwing numbers and figures and things, and then it takes them, they get to the office of the Rosh Yeshiva. At the entrance of the door, they were like they stopped breathing. They couldn't believe what they said. They saw this Rosh Yeshiva. This was the Gaon Reb Natan Zvi Finkel Zatzal, sits on his place learning Gemara. And he was a very ill person. He had so many illnesses. And this guy was running this Yeshiva Mir till a few years ago. And he told them, the guide, don't be afraid of the way he looks, because this guy, you will sit him and say, and by the way, he speaks fluent English because he came from America, so he knows to speak English, no problem. You can ask him what you want. So they sat near the Rosh Yeshiva, and Reb Natan Meir, he smiles to them and asks them, and tell him, you can ask me whatever you want, I'm welcoming you. So this billionaire, asking him, Kvod Arav, We all here are running firms and factories, huge factories. And we cannot understand how an institute like you is being managed. We cannot understand how this works. What is the secret that brings this result that we all saw in our own eyes? He says, we've been through a lot of countries. We saw a lot of factories. We never saw a thing like this. Tell us your secret. He smiled to them and he told them, my dear friends, do you know the difference between human being and a beast?
And what?
An abyss, an animal. When an animal wants something, she will try to achieve it for any cost. Human being, from the other side, he's got the ability to let go of his will, so he would not harm somebody else. And more, human being can even take less pleasure from himself to make good to his friends. Here in our yeshiva, we have human beings that everybody thinks, how can the other one live beside him? Nobody's got a problem. And with this way, you can even have thousands of happy students sitting together and learning in one place that wouldn't even fit a few hundreds. Those things of this Rosh Yeshiva went through the heart of this billionaire, the owner of
Starbucks.
And from this day on, he stopped competing with his competitors. And he was happy about it. He helped everybody he could help. And you know what happened? Do you think he lost money? We all know he didn't. We all know this is growing and growing. No, in China, for example, when I was now, just now, in China, in every street you have a Starbucks. So that's the big lesson. When you do your own job, and you understand this is what God gave me, and I make sure that I do the job in the best way I can. And if somebody else needs my help, I'm going to help him. Definitely, I'm not going to want his job. And definitely, I'm not going to compete with him or fight with him as in job. If we work this way, then kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Then we are all holy. And you see, it doesn't even hurt your physical, materialistic situation. On the contrary, it also helps you.
Jealousy.
Yes.